Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And this is the last full minute of Dune Part 1.
This is true. It's true. We have made it. We've made it almost all the way through. So let's get into it, shall we?
Yep. We got cut off mid-sentence. Unfortunately, the editing crew didn't throw us a bone on this one, but to recap, Paul left us with an explanation to Jessica as to why they should not be seeking to leave Arrakis. He says, "The Emperor sent us to this place, and my father came, not for spice, not for riches, but for the strength of your people." He's looking at Stilgar while he says all this. "My road leads into the desert. I can see it. If you'll have us, we will come." We see kind of the camera hang out for a moment on Paul and on Chani. Mm-hmm. It's very jarring to see him not with the eyes of Ibad while everyone else around him has them. That blue within blue.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a hard cut to Jameis to go. Take out Jameis. Wrapped in the tarp, funny. Being carried through the desert.
Yeah, very respectful. I like how his like his Chris knife is just like put across his chest.
Yep.
It is a very respectful way that they're carrying him.
Yeah.
Very reverential. I mean,
he died very honorably.
Yep. Yeah, he did.
Invoking the Omtal, died to a Chris knife.
Yep.
You know, so it's only fair.
And I have the new A-team walking towards the sun as the music starts to swell. And, you know, music swelling this late in a movie can only really mean one thing here. We are coming to a close.
Yep.
I thought it was interesting to note, no sand walk, no cover.
Yeah. Nothing. They're all just fucking normal walking.
But they are
not on a dune. They're on rocky ridge.
That's true.
So they're doing it correctly. And this whole group, obviously led by Stilgar.
Mm-hmm.
Behind him is one random Fremen that we don't know. Behind that person is Chani.
Yep.
Who is then leading Paul and then Jessica with this whole group.
Paul looks tired as fuck.
Yeah. Well, all right. Homie was out walking through the desert for the last, 24 hours or so. However long it was since the Ornithopter crashed. It's been a little bit of a stressful, like, at least 12 hours for the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Paul stops for a moment, and Chani turns around and, looks at him. And then Paul kind of turns to Jessica and gives, like, a, hey, look at that nod.
Mm-hmm.
What do we see, Zach?
We see a massive sandworm just hauling ass through the desert.
Yep.
Off into the distance, and the camera kind of gives us a zoom in, and we see a person riding on top of the worm with the maker hooks holding on. Such a fucking cool way to like cap off this movie.
The A-team van got an upgrade, baby. Yeah.
the A-team sandworm.
Paul says to to Jessica.
My note here says Captain Obvious gets one more line in.
Desert power.
Chani hears this and then turns to camera and tells the audience that the sequel is being planned.
This is only the beginning. Hey, listen. So right now, Denis Villeneuve is actually like lobbying to get the fucking funding for the sequel. How funny would it be if she just broke out, like broke character completely and was just like,
I would have loved it. That would have been amazing. I mean, because in reality, I think the sequel was greenlit like a week after the release.
Yeah. Couple days after.
Yeah.
But it was not greenlit until release.
Yeah. And it did so well. They were like, yes, give us another.
Mm-hmm. So Dune Part 1 was the first movie that I saw in a theater after COVID.
Yep.
You and I went together.
It also was, we've mentioned that on the show, I know a couple times, but it was something that was unique about it. It was one of the first like major motion pictures that I remember anyways, that was had a simultaneous theater and streaming release.
Yep.
And by all accounts, Denis Villeneuve was not happy about this. He did not enjoy it.
I mean, I don't blame him.
I get it. I get it as well.
Yeah.
But it was so, so successful.
Yeah, which is crazy because it makes you wonder, like, how successful had COVID not been a thing, right? How successful would the movie have been, A, with its original release date, B, with the COVID release date, but theaters only?
Yeah. I don't know. I part of me wants to say not as successful.
I think part of what made it as big of a success was everyone was cooped up in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie comes out. And at that point, you know, everyone had vaccines for COVID. Everyone was, you know,
not everyone.
Sane people.
There was a vaccine available for COVID.
Sane people had vaccines for COVID. And, you know, everyone was moderately safe. I mean, I was still, you know, taking as many precautions as I could at the time.
Sure.
But regardless of, you know, whatever your situation was, everyone was tired of being cooped up in their houses. Yeah. And this being like such a big spectacle thing to go to, I think really drove a lot of people to go watch it. I will say, though, I watched it in the theaters and then I remember coming home and immediately watching it like two more times.
This is speaking from a consumer. I like that format a lot.
What theater?
The having the theater release and having the streaming release like happen simultaneously.
Yeah.
I love that. I love going to the movies to see movies. I love going to the theater to see movies.
We're very fortunate in Atlanta to have a lot of different IMAX options.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't an option for part two because Oppenheimer. Well, no, part two was before Oppenheimer, but I don't think it was in 70 millimeter at the.
I don't know.
I've at not, that IMAX, but I saw told, Oppenheimer. We have one of the very few true 70 millimeter theaters about an hour outside of Atlanta. Yeah. I went and saw Oppenheimer there, and like, God, what I would give to watch Dune on 70 millimeter in IMAX. Holy fuck.
Yeah, that would be something. Just to say that again, like we are spoiled for choice with good theaters here in Atlanta. I know I've talked about this theater before. The Terror Theater is one of my personal favorites in the city. They like to do old 35 and 70 millimeter prints. They don't have like an IMAX like screen.
This for everyone. This is like a small like four theater building.
Yeah, it's almost like an art house kind of theater.
Yeah. I would love to watch like a 35 or a 70, 84 Lynch Dune.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome.
That'd be sick. I'll fall asleep an hour into it, but.
They were playing Minority Report on 35 millimeter.
That's cool.
Not too long ago. And I didn't get a chance to go see that, but I really, really wanted to.
Yeah.
Anyways. I don't even remember how we got on this.
We're talking about Dune and its release and
As a consumer, I like having the option of like going to the theater to watch a movie because I absolutely love it. But I also love watching movies in my living room. I got a good sound system. I got a good TV. You know, it's a comfortable couch. I love it.
I mean, you've been sitting on this couch for the last several months recording the podcast.
I know. You've got a good setup too. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I understand why
directors would want. I can be in my pajamas.
I understand why directors want to have a theater release because that really drives up the numbers. And like, you know, box office release numbers are super important to future endeavors for them. It's hard to get those same numbers on streaming services.
Well, just the revenue is not there either. So,
yeah. So I understand it, but as a consumer, and I really like the simultaneous.
Shai Halusi popcorn bucket.
That is true. That is true. I wonder if it's going to make a comeback for part three.
I'm still so mad that I couldn't get one.
Well, I'm sure eBay's your friend on that. So my last note for this minute is right after Chani says, this is only the beginning, we get one more dramatic close-up of her. And it's in sepia tone. So I was wondering, is this Dream Chani?
Look at you fucking reading my goddamn notes, motherfucker. Because this, so we talked a little bit about last week about Paul's fight with Jameis being the conflux for a lot of his prescient visions and everything. Mm-hmm. To me, this is that conflux in the movie.
Okay.
Is this scene of Chani looking over her shoulder at Paul. Is this reality? Is this a vision? Is it a mix of both? Clearly, Paul has seen the path that he needs to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And with the way that the lighting is in this scene too, because it's dawn, the sun is still low.
Yeah. So the script gives us a little insight into this.
The planet Arrakis is so beautiful when the sun is low.
It really is. So Paul and Jessica watch the worm pass by in awe. This is from the script.
Okay.
Paul turns to whisper to his mother in fierce triumph, desert power. She smiles in the golden light, making his heart skip a beat. She being Chani here.
Yeah.
This is the image from his visions, the dream girl. So
your dream girl's dream girl.
So this
Chani
is
Roan.
Chani Roan. Yep. So I think the script confirms this is, you know, this is a shot from his visions, whether or not he's having the vision right now.
And or if he's just remembering.
Yeah. That's left up for interpretation. But this is the shot of his visions and Chani and how it kind of, you know, matches up to what's happening in real life.
Yep.
In so many ways.
Sure.
Yep. All right. Well, like I said, no more book notes because we'd be getting into major spoiler territories if I were to continue. So anything left movie wise for this last full minute?
Nothing movie wise. I can tell you this wasn't the last shot that was filmed, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
we still got a little bit more. Still got a little bit.
We have
30 seconds more.
Yeah. No, the last shots for the movie were the shots of Paul on the beaches of Caladan looking out at the setting sun.
Ah.
Yeah.
That would have been weird. I think that would have been strange.
To shoot it out of order like that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about like it was planned to
No. So when they were shooting the movie, was the last shot.
Well, John, we know that they shoot movies in chronological order.
I'm just saying.
This was the last thing they filmed.
I haven't been able to pull from Art and Soul in a while, okay? Listen, motherfucker.
All right, man. What do you say we come back tomorrow for our last episode of season one of the Dune Minute podcast?
Let's do it. As always, Instagram at the Dune Minute, Blue Sky at Dune Minute, Twitter at Dune Minute, email duneminute@gmail.com. We're online chronically. Reach out to us. Yep. We're here.
That's right. All right, cool.
If you're listening on iTunes or on Apple Podcasts, don't forget to also rate the show. Regardless of where you're listening, share the show with your friends. They have a whole season. They have, by the time you share this, 148 episodes of the Dune Minute to listen to.
Yeah.
There's tons.
That'll shut them up for a while.
How many hours of podcasts do we
have? I don't know. We'll talk stats tomorrow.
Okay, cool. Come back tomorrow. We've got some good stuff to talk about.
Yep.
Especially in regards to the future of the show.
Yep.
We'll see you then.
See you later.